We used an old fish. This is Core.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Core. This is Core episode 59. We did indeed use an old fish. Who is a good example in Heroes of the Storm that uses an old fish? Murky uses an old fish.
Murky.
Yeah.
It's a prime example.
Yeah, he's fine. Murky with his old fish. We're here bringing it to you. Scott Johnson here, of course, with Beau Schwartz and John Jagger, talking Heroes of the Storm. The only game I've played all weekend, or well, I guess I should say since last week, it's the only video game that I've played or spent any real time in, which is rare for me. I usually try to, you know, pull up other stuff, maybe the occasional mobile thing because I'm in bed, not near my PC. But if I'm in front of the computer and it's game time, it's all Heroes of the Storm all the time right now. Don't really know what that's about. I know we talked about last week a little bit about the, I don't know, just the great state the game's in. Things feeling really good after the Varian patch for whatever reason. Still not totally sure why that is, but for whatever reason, I am just feeling it like nothing else right now, and I can't wait to play later tonight, which we'll be doing right after the show, so you watching live, stay around, because we're going to play some Heroes of the Storm later. Oh, and hello anyone who found us on the launcher. I guess we're on that tonight. Hi, launcher people.
Yeah.
What's going on? Good to see
you. What you doing over there? You about to play a video game?
Yeah, don't do that. Watch us, then play. You'll get more excited about the game. Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to see. So we're coming off of a holiday here in the States and not in Canada. Sorry, Beau. You had to work on Thursday last week.
Apology accepted. American scum.
I know. But we that meant there's this thing we have around here called Black Friday, which everybody sort of celebrates all over the place, including Canada, and everybody saves money and tramples each other at stores and stuff like that. Last year, Heroes was famous for having a 50% off everything sale, and it lasted for a couple of days, I think. I think it may have been from Black Friday through Cyber Monday, another name I can't stand. I hate all these names. But anyway, they did this huge sale, and you could go buy anything for 50% off what it normally is. And we talked about it a bit last week. Beau was talking about how he hoped it wouldn't happen. Hey, good news, Beau. It didn't happen.
I feel like the Grinch. I'm like, you're getting nothing.
Yeah, there was no big deals. In fact, they kind of had a big central Blizzard sale page for all the Black Friday things that were going on. And every game was like, play Overwatch this weekend for free. Some other game was World of Warcraft, only $5.95 for the entire game right now for limited time only or whatever. So they have all these like deals. And then under Heroes of the Storm, it says, play for free right now. And I'm thinking, no, we play it for free. That's a free to play game. Like they didn't have a deal. There was
no
deal.
I mean, they put the legendary skins on sale.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that.
There were some pretty good deals.
Yeah.
What'd
you buy?
I didn't buy anything.
All right.
But I got, there's some lots of free stuff. I mean, I think people are missing the point here is that they actually gave away 5 heroes.
Mm. Oh, good point. You mean with the challenge, the Nexus challenge?
With the Nexus challenge, which is kind of coinciding with it. So, you know, maybe you didn't get nothing, but the guy you invited in or the girl you invited in to play, they're going to get some free stuff.
I hadn't really considered that, but what they asked for in exchange for that was just your time, your game time. They asked you to play a bunch of games, 30 to be exact, which I did. All three of us seemed to have no problem getting through those games. Like we were done, what, a day and a half after it started or something?
Yeah, we got hooked pretty hard by that.
Yeah, that worked out really well for us. And a lot of people we haven't played with in a while, we saw them in there. So I think the game experienced a nice injection of people. But the game basically said, hey, I mean, they didn't explicitly say this, but they said, we're not doing a 50% off everything deal this year, despite what forumites and people on Reddit might want to freak out about. And there was plenty of freaking out. But they said, we're not doing that, but we are doing this other thing, like Beau says, and it just takes, you know, you playing the game you want to play anyway. We're not charging you for this. Just play. 15 and get a free hero. Want to play 30 and get a bunch more? Do that too. If you already own those heroes, there's some other cool stuff to get, which was my case. I already had all those heroes, so my benefits were elsewhere. But I think that went fine. I think that was a fine thing to do, and I kind of hope they do this sort of thing more regularly. I like the challenge of it. I like that there was something to earn. It didn't feel grindy. I had fun the whole time. The only grind of any of it was that Blackheart's attack on Titan thing that we did. What's that called?
Yep. What?
Blackheart sailed his boat into space.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Really took it to Titan hard. Good old Blackheart.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The one that we didn't like. And I shouldn't say
the
dumb.
Blackheart's Revenge.
Yeah, and for the record, I think we all said it as we played it, and I still say it now. I don't think that the mode's bad. I think that its inability to easily communicate the best strategy to take in a mode that's a little bit throwaway anyway. People go there just for the funs and the lulls. I think that it fell a little flat because people weren't doing any of what they're supposed to do. If anything, it broke the rule of there was a complicated mode involved or a semi-complicated mode, and nobody was playing the mode. They were just trying to kill each other and not really maximize the map.
Well, you get into that first match, and you're like, okay, what am I doing? I read the thing. I got to shoot cannonballs. I guess, the match is over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. It's a forced-timed match, so you had no time to learn it, right?
Yeah. And the thing about it is you really need a concerted strategy to actually keep the if you're in a five-man group, you might have a chance of keeping the other team distracted long enough to get balls in the cannons, except you're on vision. When you pick up a ball, like in your Nova, I picked up the ball, and I'm like, everyone can see me. What's the point of having – I'm like, this is – and it channels, and you channel it to put it in. And it's only 5 minutes. You spend like 25% of the match channeling and fearing for your life.
Yeah.
So it probably could use tweaks to be a little more fun, but that's to be expected. How would they know?
Yeah. But it's all these randos, right? Like all these randos. Even when we played, it was three of us. That's nice and all. But five knowledgeable players playing a competent other team of five knowledgeable players on that map could be a lot of fun. You would understand the rules. You understand the time limit. You understand the map layout and who's defending, who's attacking. How that works, where the ship moves, like all of that stuff added up in a rando environment to be just kind of a pain. And so I was happy to get my three done and get out. You guys sadly had to suffer through like five or six of those, I guess, because you each did your three plus three with me.
Yeah.
That must have been a real bummer for you. It would have been for me. I felt bad.
Well, it didn't take too long. It was fine.
But anyway, we'll see what they do. Maybe they'll tweak it and come back with something different. I don't know. It was fine. Again, not great fun in the environment that it's presented in, but I think it probably has some potential. But this sale pissed off a lot of people. Do we think that freak out was at all warranted? Because I don't. I think I'm kind of with Bo on last week's sentiment. While I would have said, oh, all right, cool, 50%, let me go spend some money. It's not that I wouldn't have, but these people that are like, I'm going to quit this game. This is stupid. I can't believe they're not doing this again. It's like that was a weird catalyst for a lot of anger, I thought.
I'll tell you my two sides, because I see both sides, and I'll tell you the strongest argument I see from both sides. From the camp of sad that they're not getting a 50% off deal, I think the best statement that I've heard from them is, look, I think this stuff is a little priced outside of what I can afford or what I would like to spend on this sort of stuff. 50% off brings it to where I would buy it, and I would have bought some stuff if it was marked that level. Mm-hmm. And I get that, because I'm probably the same way. There were a few skins that if they were about 50% off, I probably would have picked them up. On the other hand, the other argument I saw for the, hey, you're not owed a sale, don't get upset about it, is people saying, look, just because they did it 1 year, that's not a trend. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they have committed a contract to you as a player that this will happen every year without fail. Mm-hmm. And so getting outraged that it didn't happen the second potential year seems a little silly.
Yeah, if it was third year, maybe a little bit more. Fourth year, sure, I get it, but there's no trend. One time isn't a trend. One time is one time. So I totally agree with that. And by the way, why would Blizzard, this is just another look, I'm playing, I guess I'm playing Blizzard Advocate here, but rather than Devils, but why would they want to create a system that generated a ton of half of the revenue during 3 days of the year, and for the rest of the year, people wait until those 3 days come around again? Because that's kind of what you're suggesting. The people that, whether it's they didn't can't afford it, don't want to afford it, want to wait, whatever it may be, that's what they're waiting for. Well, I'll hold off on these skins until next November. And Blizzard doesn't want to get into a revenue pattern where they have to go to their quarterly, you know, shareholder meetings and go, hey, we did killer in November, but the rest of the year was flat because everyone's waiting for November. Bo, thoughts, Bo?
That's right. I think everyone just, I know I said it. Last year, this time, I said, I'm going to wait till next year and buy everything.
You did.
Like, because I spent a lot of money. But, you know, I don't feel bad about the purchases I made with this game because I get a lot of value out of it. So, but there was, I think we got the most engagement, as social media experts call it, on their social media with one tweet that was sent out by the court. It was like, guys, you guys are super entitled because you want 50% off. And all of a sudden, I've got all these people talking to me. It's great.
It was a little it was a little trolly, if I'm going to be honest. I wasn't trying to, I was actually trolling for stuff, but I was irritated that people were throwing so much shade on the game for not having the sale. And so I'll give you the exact tweet so people don't wonder what we're talking about. Here's what it was. The court at Core Heroes says this. 1 day ago, Heroes players complaining about no 50% off sale this year is just about the most entitled thing I've heard all year. That may have been me in a bit of a tiff. I'm not going to throw you guys under the bus. That was totally me. and then a lot of response to that, both in the positive and negative. And I get it. Like I get all sides of it. And by the way, we really appreciate that kind of engagement. So anytime, whether we say something dumb, controversial, or otherwise disagreeable, please speak up. We're not muters or blockers here. We want to have the conversation about the game. We want to talk about the nuances of some of these questions, and you guys were great on the back and forth. Bo, you got really all up in that. A bunch of stuff from you.
I was interested in hearing what people had to say because it's like Walmart saying, sorry folks, no Black Friday this year. I mean, Blizzard's a big company. If you're doing a thing like a big sale, you're setting that expectation whether you like it or not with a portion of people.
Yeah,
I just don't think that's what the company wants to do. Blizzard doesn't really do it except with some of their older releases. They do get marked down. You know, StarCraft is on sale and Diablo's got the Battle Chat. Like, you know, they do offer discounts, but this stuff felt like really new content to just the whole store. Like, take 10 heroes and mark them down. Or give some away for free, which is what they did this year, which is way better.
Yeah.
Because they're leaving themselves options. Also, P.S. everyone, go to the League of Legends store and check out some of the legendary skins for like $30 or $40. Never go on sale. Mm-hmm. Legendary skins here are actually really cheap. So, you know, it's all a matter of perspective. Also, the MOBA genre is supposed to be filled with money. Riot made more money than God himself last year. Wait, God doesn't make money, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Oh, he makes all the money.
Riot made tons with this model.
Yeah.
And so boohoo, you guys. I'm sorry, but I want the company, I want you to enjoy the game, and I want you, these folks need to be paid for their work. It needs to be profitable venture so we keep getting to have it. So I don't like the idea of promoting a culture where everyone just waits and is only willing to spend X amount on stuff and not, you know, we're not talking about essentials. This isn't the price of bananas going up. Now you can't eat bananas anymore because they never go on sale.
Right.
The grocery store.
Right. I think you've got this sounds like Bo's got a personal problem with bananas at his local store. That's fine. It's a good, I like the comparison.
I love bananas. They cost too much. The price of bananas too damn high.
Hero skins are like bananas, everybody. And you got to peel it back.
Hey, see, I knew you were going somewhere with that. So bottom line, knock it off. That's kind of what I meant about the entitlement thing, is people just felt like they were owed something. And I don't know. It is on Blizzard to make sure to not establish a expectation of this happening every year, the way that a lot of retail stores do for Black Friday. So I'm actually kind of applauding them for not making this a regular countable thing, not doing it 2 years in a row, because they would set an expectation that is more difficult for them to deal with. I mean, look what they already dealt with, the backlash just for having done it once.
Well, and again, we're not saying they didn't do anything. Right. They did something.
Right.
They just didn't do what people in their minds had decided that they were going to do. They
right.
took their most expensive skins that are in the game, the stuff that costs you the most money, and they discounted those.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a position where I had already paid the full price for those skins. And so it wasn't much of a sale for me. I did that filter by owned and thought, oh, there's nothing here. So it was very easy to feel like there was no sale or anything like that, but there was. And so to me, that's Blizzard's way of saying, like, hey, here's the discount for this year. Could it have been something different? Sure. If it had been something different, would I have maybe used it? Sure.
Mm.
But I think you nailed it. It's the sense of entitlement that bugs me. It's not people saying, man, I wish they had done this. I wish they had done it. I want that Cyberhawk Kael'thas skin so bad I can taste his fell magic, but
jeez,
it's not going to happen right now. It's going to happen later when it's on a discount. That's
sure.
probably when I'm going to pick it up.
And
so
that is smart thinking. You got a lot of Kael'thas stuff in the closet and you're thinking, I don't really need, I don't need new additions to my wardrobe in the closet. So it's that kind of closet, Bo, just so you know which closet I'm talking about. And then mm-hmm. you're thinking, okay, I'll wait for that to go on sale. This is normal consumer thinking, and that's the kind of expectation they should have. Not that it's all going to happen on one day and everything must go, because that's a weird clearance thing, and that's not what Blizzard's doing. This is the kind of thing you see when an Old Navy goes out of business at some weird location. Everything must go, 50% off all stock. Why would they do that every year and establish that? So, not to beat a dead horse, but I think they made the right choice and they did the right stuff. The only question I have is, did I miss out on a less expensive version of the Li Ming volleyball deal? Did I miss that skin sale? Was that on sale? Does anyone know?
I don't think so. Oh, I don't think so.
That was one I really wanted. I really want it.
I love how Scott gets super excited for all the hot women's fashions every year. It's like, listen, while we're talking about this, do you see that Li Ming skin? Oh, Jaina?
Yeah,
oh, I've got all of Jaina's stuff.
Last year was Christmas Jaina that Scott was way into.
Oh, I totally was. I totally was. And I'm going to wear that all December. That's all she's wearing. That's all anyone's wearing is their Christmas stuff. I'm actually really excited to bring all that stuff out. However, the Li Ming one and others in the game are more based on the creativity of the particular skin. So like that one, the Kael'thas bird one that you were talking about, what's it called? What is it? Something space?
Cyberhawk.
Cyberhawk Kael'thas. That's it.
Yeah.
Spaceman Kael'thas.
Spaceman Kael'thas. When Blackheart attacked Titan, he was right there manning the ship.
Yep, exactly. Like, I pine for those, but I can't justify them just yet. Part of it is because I'm not playing a lot of KT, and so I always wonder, well, why do I want a skin, expensive skin for a character I'm not playing, or would that motivate me to play it more, like the way that the Kerrigan skin did, because that did motivate me to play her more? I don't know. A lot of questions, few answers. But that's our stand on 50%. 50 cent. I don't know what I'm saying.
Oh, I want to say one thing. I'm in before the Heroes news post 10 years from now where some guy posts, remember when Blizzard had a good sale 10 years ago? This company sucks. They never did that thing they did 10 years ago.
Yep.
And I just come here to post.
Yep. You've predicted the future, Bo. It's happening.
All right. Well,
what you're saying is inevitable.
See you in 10 years, Bo.
Yeah, we'll see you then. Let's talk about our core topic this week. How do I get better in the game? This is still something that comes up. In fact, if I was to go through our emails, you would find probably 2 out of every 10 are asking this question. What is it I can do to improve in the game? And not all of them are from people who are total scrubs and noobs. We're talking about people who have been playing the game for a while and feel stuck in silver or are at a otherwise, you know, doing great sort of place, but feel like they're not progressing in the game. So let's talk about the most obvious question when it comes to anything skill-based or competitive, and that is, how do we get better? We're 3 players of varying skill, practice, and knowledge levels. So I think this is going to be a good panel of where different people are at. Now, I'm going to say pretty much without reservation, Bo is at the high end of where things are. And he's going to probably tell us some of those reasons. I think I know some of the reasons, but I want to hear them out of him. But he's the best player in here. Are we all in agreement? Bo kicks RA, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that John and I are much closer. However, John is my superior in the game. He's better than me in this game. And I also think he has a broader base of playable heroes that he's good at and can pull out, you know, at any given time. He's also more aggressive and plays especially damage-based heroes in a way that just makes me think I'm doing it wrong sometimes. Then I've got kind of my level, and I'll bet you if you took the average of the player base out there, there's going to be a lot of people stuck somewhere between me and John somewhere.
We're the bread in this player sandwich.
Yeah, yes. We're the bread on the player sandwich, Bo. You're the meat. You're the meat, son. So
he's the olive on the little sword that they've impaled through all of us.
The irony is he's also the most humble, like truthfully the most humble of all of us, and yet he's just kicks everyone's ass. So, but even Bo, see, this is my whole point of getting to this. Even Bo got to a place with Hero League this last season where you felt stuck. And we've talked about all the reasons it might be there. Like, not all of it is just, well, Bo hit his skill cap and has to find a way out of it. Just like some, you know, baseball player needs to figure out how to get a better batting average, or, you know, why can't Michael Jordan score more than 65 points a game? Well, how can he get to 70 or whatever? It's that, but it's also the game, the environment, how Hero League works, how MMR works, how you get a little bit penalized from the previous season where you should be placed higher, blah, blah, blah. We've talked about all those things. But just from a player skill perspective, what are our steps? What do we do? What's the obvious answers?
Yeah, it's a big question. It's a good question. Mm. But I guess it's the first step to anything, and this is going to sound super corporate speak, I think, is to identify where you're at and identify what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. That's because everyone doesn't start the game at the same place.
Will
right?
it require a third party, someone who's slightly disconnected, that can tell you, not disconnected from the game, but disconnected from you and your own whatever, your own abilities or your own thinking about yourself, to look at it in a impartial way and be that third party and say, I'm Kyle Ferguson and you're bad at that, but you're great at this.
Who incidentally offers coaching. Well, this is native advertising, so we've got to put it in here.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's on Kyle Ferguson on the internet somewhere. Yeah. So coaching is great. I mean, I haven't had a heroes coach, but I have employed a life coach. I've actually contracted one for, you know, about a half a year to a year, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And that helped me, a new perspective, it helped me shed a new perspective on my life with someone who wasn't scared to, who was paid essentially, good money, by the way, to tell me, like, why are you rationalizing this decision, for example? You're making it out of fear. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm staying in this position of my life because of whatever. Anyways, coaching is great because if you have someone that is worth, you know, is a reputable life coach or a coach of a sport or whatever, their job is to not make you feel bad, but they're going to point out what you're doing wrong. So a coach can definitely do that. And it's necessary because some post on Reddit that's offering you helpful suggestions.
There you go.
Suggestive helpfuls on how to improve may not actually apply in your case.
Yeah,
and we're going to talk about it a bit later, but tier lists and it being the top and hot slogs being the top of not helpful for you whatsoever. Mm. So I think the first thing to do is to identify where you're at and stop blaming teammates, because I've played a lot of Hero League games now and you have to deal with all kinds of problems. You never get your ideal team comp if you're not going into a five-man team league setting with friends or with people you've recruited in that way, which is, I think, where a lot of this comes from. I think people who play team league have a way to discuss with one another how to improve. And if it's a positive environment, steps are probably being made to play better. I know we've played with Kyle a lot and we have a few other team league sort of rosters, and we do feel like we're getting better and progressing, and we talk about the games after.
Right.
So yes, the first step is to identify where you're at, and because it's a tough question. It's a sport, right?
Mm-hmm.
So getting good at basketball, maybe you're a good runner and you have lots of endurance, but you can't dribble a ball, or you can dribble a ball and you're out of breath in 10 seconds. That might mean you need to go to the gym every day and start building up your cardio.
If I said to you, hey, is there any value, and John, feel free to jump in on this too, but you guys think there's any value in basically keeping the sports metaphor alive here, reviewing old tape, going back to replays and saying, I don't know why we lost that game. I felt like we were all doing really great. And then going and watching the game again and just seeing where maybe the weaknesses were that you couldn't see either in real time or through your ego or whatever. Is there value in going to the tape?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to know what you're looking for when you go into replays, but I think one of the most common things, and I think all of us are probably guilty of doing it, is we finish a match and say there were three of us on comms and two randoms. And you get done with the match and you lost and you go, man, those other two people, right? Not any of my friends, not me, but those two people, they did it. They caused all the issues. And maybe they did. Maybe they weren't good. You know, we played a game with a player who was maybe new on a hero or not performing the way we wanted on a hero. It's very easy to look at that character and go, that was the problem right there.
Mm.
But
Chromie.
That doesn't mean you played. Yeah, Chromie. that doesn't mean you played a perfect game. That doesn't mean you did everything right. It doesn't mean you adapted to that play style and found a way to make it work for you and your team. So going back and reviewing it and saying, well, was there anything I could have done different? Go back and look and see. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of plays into what Bo was saying with identify your problems.
Mm-hmm.
Don't identify other people's problems. You don't learn a whole lot from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But identify your own.
I mean, that said, I do appreciate it. For example, Bo, when you often will take like team leadership positions, especially in very competitive games or games where we're doing a lot of try hard or whatever, and you'll kind of become coach. You'll become shot caller, play caller. And I appreciate that because I feel like I've got somebody who's, while has a vested interest in winning and playing well, you're also seeing what's going wrong. You're seeing that the specialist spent too much time up there. I shouldn't have gotten to camp when I should have been in the team fight or whatever. I think that if you've got somebody who you're playing with like that, it's sometimes easy to go, what do they know? I'm over here getting ready. Or you can just open your mind a little bit and go, no, they're probably right. In fact, we would have won that team fight if I'd have been there. Or if I wouldn't have been so chicken in the back line, and actually, you know, extended a little bit, gotten out of my comfort zone, which we'll talk about in a minute, maybe I could have done something. So I find that really valuable, not just looking at myself and making my own self-evaluations, but having somebody around, whether they're, again, a third-party arbiter or just someone on my team who can say, that was good, that was bad, or this is what we should do next time, or even as simple as don't worry about this particular objective. We're going to lose that one. We're going to have to take that one on the chin, wait for the next one. And then there's just a better sense of I can reassemble. I can make this work. Anyway, you were going to say, I cut you off.
Well, no, I mean, that's great. I think because the question is, how do I get better? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think I could list off 50 different avenues of training or pursuit that, you know, depending on what you need to improve on, you could go. But it's that fundamental, what is learning? Let's get Phyllis. This is a TED Talk now. Like, how do people learn? What is the key to happiness?
Webster's Dictionary defines learning as...
Yeah, the best TED Talks start with the Webster's reference to defining what we're talking about.
That's way to go, really.
But it really is, it's about learning. So, you know, and a lot of people who play video games, I mean, we want to get away from crap like that. Maybe we work or we go to school and everyone's trying to make us improve and trying to you know, do these things. So we come to video games in large part as comfort food and as an escape. And yes, you want to be good mechanically, but you don't want to have to deal with all the, you know, I have to do these things to get better. And I think you lose sight of that when you're playing a game and it's fun, but people kind of suck. So it's easy just to say, well, you guys are failing. you know, or I mean, I'm not that good, but the matchmaker's not putting me where I need to be or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you're legit serious about becoming better, then you've got to put legit concentration into it, which means go watch VODs. If you're listening to this podcast or others like it, maybe you're picking some stuff up. There are some pro players. I know Stray, KO, and McIntyre both have YouTube channels, and they're putting out pretty decent content going over their perspectives on how to play heroes. Watch those. Mm-hmm. There are tools online that you can just practice your APM. You can do that. And you can use AI as a form of training or custom matches to do things like practice your auto attacks.
Good place to try your auto casting.
I mean, not I'm getting kind of specific again, but like you're not going to see what you can't see. It is going to require someone else to point it out to you. Yeah. And for me, we talked a lot about, oh, you're so great. I'm like, put me in a room with a bunch of pro players and like everyone's going to be criticizing my play. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, you should be doing this and doing this and doing this. Right. And that would be great for me. That would be a learning experience for me.
Yeah, so everybody's got a ceiling.
Everyone has gaps and opportunities. Right. And a lot of the people in the pro teams, they're not perfect and gods at everything. Usually they're good at certain things and hopefully they're compensating for each other's weaknesses and working on improving it's just like sports. Like literally, if you have any familiarity at all with sports, it just all applies. It's just maybe you don't need cardio. Although I know there are pro players who make sure they get their exercise to, mm-hmm. to be healthy for matches. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you get better? The first step is identifying where you are, and that might take a friend, might take a paid professional or just playing enough, practicing. Like, I feel like that's my road a little bit is I just play so much that eventually I'm just like, I keep losing as Chromie. What do I need to do differently? Mm-hmm. You know, so I'll, you know, it takes me a lot longer, but you know, eventually you do start to pick up on things.
All right. So let's talk about number one there then. So practice means play a lot. I tease Bo because he plays like way late into the night. The other day he played till like 5 a.m.
yes,
I did play till 5 a.m. That's right. I don't think that we can condone, you know, you don't go to the football field on Saturday and just play every day and say, coach, I'm ready. I threw the football around for 15 hours. I think I'm just a sick person when it comes to heroes. Right. And so
you love the like game, certainly, but all of that play is definitely, you know, adds to your bottom line, your skill cap and everything else. But practice at whatever level you as a player can do. Find what you like and play to that strength. So this is an interesting one, and I just want to throw this around a little bit. I feel like that changes. I think early in our heroes time together anyway, John, you were way warrior focused.
Yeah.
Almost entirely. And while you still pull out the occasional Artanis or whatever, your warrior play is more about who's got some sweet DPS builds and who can do some crazy diving and some really aggressive play. It's less about honing, you know, the perfect tank for you. And I feel like that's changed over time. You weren't really into the assassins for a long time, and now it feels like you're pulling those guys out left and right. Is that a fair assessment? And what was the change for you?
No, that's completely fair. And it's funny that you mentioned that because one of the other ones that we're going to talk about is kind of understanding your level in the game. And so I played very aggressive warrior comps. I really liked Diablo, and I really liked being a very overly aggressive Johanna. I know that sounds like those are opposite things, but trust me, you can do it. And I liked to be the person leading the charge in. And early on in Heroes, that worked really well. It still works really well when we do pickup games and stuff like that. Where problems come in is that now, when I play with players that are at a higher skill level, there are things that at lower tiers and lower skill levels, other players run from. You got a Diablo in your face on bronze and silver. You'll see a lot of people run away from that Diablo. They're just, oh, there's the Diablo. I got to get away from him. He's being real aggressive. At higher levels, they just punish you for doing that. Yeah. And that's a big shift all of a sudden because the thing that works really well suddenly doesn't work anymore. And so I have been trying to expand my roster, get better at being a defensive tank, but I wouldn't have known that until I started playing in different tiers than where I currently was. Because Aggressive Warrior works really well where we all typically play. And then when I was playing with a bunch of players that were better than me, all of a sudden that stopped being effective and I started getting people killed because I was too far ahead. And I had to learn to adjust my play style and start playing defensively at that point.
Gotcha. All right. So there's a good example. I may or may not have eaten half a taco while you were talking. I just want to throw
that
out.
I was wondering, like, I saw you lean back and go, and I was like, man, I better keep going because Scott's really into something.
Yeah, try not to eat on podcast, but my wife brought me these tacos, and I could not resist. I had to have at least half of one. I'm good now. I'm satiated. That'll keep till later. Everything's fine.
All right.
I'm
calling 30 minutes before he disappears.
It's hard. Good to be hard. These are really good.
Got a good coil of grumpy.
That's my sister will love that. That has taken on some additional use since we were kids. So all right. So perfect example. For me, there was a shift like this as well, where I thought my future was in range DPS and it would never go anywhere from, you know, any further than that. I thought that that's where I would focus. I would rarely own or play a tank or a healer or any sort of laning focused character. And that's all changed for me, especially in the healer stuff. I like tanks too, but I really like playing a healer, and I like doing clutch things at clutch moments that save lives. Like I think Morales and Karazim and a number of other healer style characters are some of my favorite things to do in the game. Even Tassadar falls into that category for me. I love doing unexpected things with support characters. And that just takes time to figure out that maybe that's a place for you. But Bo, what we're saying here is find out what you like and play to that strength. Would you argue that despite John's now leanings toward other kinds of play in the game or my leanings towards other kind of play, are we still playing to our strengths? Are those strengths still there? We just didn't realize we could do it in a multi-class game like this. That's a hard question. I don't know if it's easy to answer that, but.
Yeah, I mean, you got to just go after what's fun or what you find is fun. Like, if you are really bad at a hero, but you really insist on playing it, then do it. I don't think you have to, well, again, it's a matter of perspective and where you're at. I think if you're fairly new, play the heroes that are fun and just learn the ones that you want. If you want to get better at the game, play all of them. Mm. Like, practice all of them. Because knowing what they fear, the players who play them fear, is something like firsthand experience, knowing what the cooldowns are, knowing that Jaina is kind of, you know, once she combos out, she's pretty weak unless she's kind of Frostbolt built. But again, knowing that and playing it is just how you sort of get that. I think that the best thing to do is really just to hone in on a thing that you like. Let's talk from just absolute new player. Absolute. And it's too scared to go into Hero League because they don't feel good. If you love Lili, play Lili. Lili's really strong. She's great. Become a master at Lili. So focus on one hero because right now it's overwhelming to try and get in and play all the heroes. I mean, eventually you can get there, but I'd focus in on just if it's one role that you want, then play that role. Just be a support. We need more supports, by the way. I've been playing a ton of QM because I got my stim pack from the thing. So I'm like playing QMs, trying to, you know, get my hero levels and practice the heroes I don't play as much. And never any support games. We need more support players.
Completely
agree. We need to be nice to support players and encourage them to play. They make the game so much better when we have them.
I totally agree. So, I wonder why that is, and I wonder if Blizzard's watching that. I assume they are. They're probably seeing statistics like that. I don't think hero or support players. There's some of the funnest characters in the game right now are support players, in my opinion. Like I'd play Karazim all day if you let me. But they must be seeing a dip. They have to. Well, I say that based on our play experience, and sure enough, all the games that you and me and John have been in are almost all, unless we played the healer, pretty universally healerless or supportless, which is weird. I don't understand why that's a trend, but
I think it's because if you want a shot at a real game as a support with competent people who will leverage your strengths, you'll go to ranked. It's funny because like a lot of people who love playing assassin characters probably just playing QM You know, you see tons of those. But I think even if I wasn't that good and I wanted to play support or even tank, to be honest with you, there's no place for me in QM. Because QM is, I keep saying, I kind of hate this term, but it's kind of, it's clown fiesta, whatever that means. I see it a lot. I don't know.
When a bunch of clowns get together and have a good time.
Yeah, have a party.
It's just, it's sorry. Like, it's not the game as intended. You know, I had a QM match last night where literally there was no laning, no camping. The enemy team was just hunting us down. And we ended up winning because the strategy, you know, eventually you break them against your fist or whatever, you know, the wave crashing against your rock.
Yeah, that was satisfying, by the way. That felt great to win that.
Yeah, but, you know, it's that's not how a real game is played. That's not how challenging and cunning opponents will deal with you. And that's, you know, that's where being you really leverage being a support player is where people get into that. I have practical advice for you two, though.
Oh, all right.
And so let's do some live stuff on the show. We'll do one thing.
Here we go.
And you guys are going to hate it. You're going to get mad and you're going to rationalize it. Y'all need to unlock your cameras.
I was about to say,
you know what? I'm open to whatever suggestion Bo's about to give me, except that one.
Yep. It's you don't ever have to do it, and you're playing just John. I mean, we played Team League on the weekend, and we did really well. But I'm legit catching moments now where something happened off of your screen that you didn't see that you could have seen that was not that far out of the map vision. So it isn't just about unlocking your camera, but it's getting used to like tapping around all the time to see. Like when I'm performing an ability, I don't have to have my guy near the center. I have him off to the corner and I've got my attention focused. And it's not, you can't solve it in a day. And it's very uncomfortable to switch. I know when I made the switch.
Yeah.
But now
I have good news.
Imagine going back.
I have good news for you.
And I can see everything.
I have great news for you then. My last... when does the last we played? Saturday, Sunday, whatever that was. That entire night, I played unlocked that night. Now, why you ask? Because it's funny. For the first time, there's a character that's driving me to do it. And that character is Samuro. For whatever reason, I like to kind of keep a more keen eye on where my clones have gone. Because you're constantly popping that. And so when I'm hitting Q and out go my spirit walker dudes, whatever they're called, clones, what are they? Whatever they are. My mirror images.
Mystic allies.
There you go. Yeah. Those guys. No, wait, not mystic allies. Those are the ones that Karazim
does. Samuro. It's your mirror image. Sorry.
Yeah, mirror image. Karazim. Yeah. No, it's fine. Those are cool too. But and that's actually a good point. Maybe it's more useful there too. But I like to kind of see what they're up to because they, even though they're sort of autonomous, they don't need my control if I don't take Allied Master or whatever the hell it is. I don't remember names. I don't know these names. Whatever it is. What's the other ultimate where I can control them?
Illusion Master.
I never take that, but even if I did, this idea of keeping track of my robot friends has been very helpful for me because I kind of know what they're up to. Are they going down lane? Did they get caught up in a fight with a player? Are they somehow hung up on a merc or something? Like, where are they? It's been easier for me to do it that way. So I've gotten, because I've been powering him to 10, and I'm almost there, I'll probably maybe even hit it tonight while we're playing. That has put me in a place where I really like doing that with him. So yeah, I think that's where I want to ultimately be. My biggest problem is... there's a few things at play, and this is a little side tip. The current sensitivity for mouse movement for edge of screen movement is way, way, way low. So I would crank that up if I were people, because that's part of what I did the other night as well, as I cranked that way up. It takes a second to get kind of used to it, but my screen moves much quicker now. I'm not waiting forever for drags and pops and moves and stuff like that. You basically just tap into your old RTS skill set and you start doing that. So
yeah, and I know John and I have been playing Allied Commanders, so you know there's lots of practice to be had over there. Mm-hmm. Also, you can use your middle mouse button to pan your camera around. You don't have to just edge peek. It's also a nice little trick when you're doing a weird channeling ability and you don't want to edge peek because you need your mouse somewhere.
Yeah.
the middle mouse button's good. And I want to just address, so listen, the audio listeners, we have a chat room. Chat room went nuts when, like, you know, yeah. I almost felt bad.
The equivalent of
Scott,
like,
and John out. It was like, everyone's like, who has lock screens in 2016? Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, they know,
what am
they,
I doing here?
They know I have. Show. If they've alert, seen my, alert. If they've seen me stream before, they've seen my lock camera. So
I want to address it is that everyone playing this game is on some continuum of training. Mm-hmm. So don't go around lulling people that use locked screens. First of all, the Blizzard lock is not fastened the way League is. You can edge peek a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's hard to, it's torture on Abathur, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works on Abathur, but
okay, now you've got me. If you play with locked camera on Abathur, you've done something wrong.
All right.
World's worst Abathur, and I know to unlock your camera on Abathur.
So I just want to say everyone is somewhere on their journey. And the lock screen's great. When I started playing League, I played with the lock screen. That's how you start, because it's disorienting. The game doesn't feel like an RTS, so why am I all over the place?
Yeah,
you don't need to be. You don't need to be to enjoy Heroes.
And by the way,
that's what a lot of people are missing. As you get better, and this is why I say it, you will improve because having an unlocked screen allows you to see, oh, there's something happening just like 10 pixels below the screen that you're not seeing. And so it's a way to improve at the game.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I've always sort of agreed with it. It was just sort of going back and forth for me. Here's the thing, though. And now I just want to tackle on or pile onto what you already said. Blizzard made a locked camera with some, you know, with some wiggle room for a reason. If they didn't think it wasn't valuable to either the new player experience or as a default experience, they wouldn't put it in the game. So that's number one. And because of that, it's a great entry point. And if the ultimate final training, you know, crane kick, Miyagi, let's win this karate match moment is to unlock your camera, great. But you have a place to start. And I think they wouldn't have put it in the game if it wasn't a valuable starting point for players. Now, many of us, John and I included, have taken it much further into our play. We're well past beginner stage and we still enjoy a good locked camera. But I totally take Bo's point, and I always feel like if I was just better at this unlocked camera, I could really, like, maybe this is one of my ceilings. Like, maybe this is one of the caps that holds me back. So I'm gonna be middle guy here and agree that's the direction the people should aim to go. And I'm gonna take your advice. I kind of already have, but I'm gonna take it again and see where it takes me. Let's see. What else? Go. John, what are you going to do? Are you going to do it?
Yeah, I'm going to unlock that camera. Boy, you'll never see a camera as unlocked as my camera is going to be. It's going to be the most unlocked camera in the entire world. I won't even know where the camera is. It'll be so unlocked.
Remember, you can press spacebar at any time and hold it down for it to lock onto your guy as you practice with it. So that's another good little trick too. And listen, do it one game a week or something. Like, you don't have to go whole hog.
What have I told you, Bo? And this is true. That depending on the hero, I lock or unlock. There are some characters I play with unlocked camera.
Yeah. That was true of me before this, too. Like Karazim, I have to unlock it because every time seven-sided strike happens, if I don't want to get sick or wonder where the hell he went, it has to be unlocked. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if anyone knows or has done this, but try doing Karazim's seven-sided kick with a locked camera. Blah. That's an argument to unlock it. Or at least
it's not something that you had to do, but if we're talking about self-improvement, I wanted to give a practical example. And I've noticed in some games we've played, I'm like, I'm down here in the jungle and you're up there and no one sees me.
Yeah, but isn't it possible? So the real skill you're asking for here isn't that the thing's unlocked, because what you're asking for is that you have better peripheral awareness. And the peripheral awareness comes from like a lot of screen peeking and a lot of jumping around the mini map and, you know, using your camera more actively than we currently are. I totally
agree. Watching your mini map like a hawk.
Right. That would be my argument back to Bo, because I don't
disagree. It's not an argument.
I don't disagree with his observation of, hey, John, I'm noticing that sometimes you're up ahead of everybody. Yeah. But that's an assumption that if I had my camera unlocked, I'd be looking at his precious little face over in the corner, and I probably wouldn't be.
That's between you and your God. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm here to provide an observation. What you do with the nugget of observation is up to you.
Right. That was
it's feedback. It's feedback. It's just I notice you're not noticing things.
That was my entire point though. If you unlock, it's not just a matter of unlocking, because even if you're the master of unlocking, like Jill and even if you're the master of unlocking, like Bo, and Barry gives you the key, you still need to be the awareness is still important. I mean, you still only have the screen, right? So you're still, if you are staying relatively on your character, even though it's unlocked, I still can't see, as John puts it, Bo's precious nugget of a face or whatever what you said, because I'm not doing more map awareness with my unlocking. Does that make sense? So that's why I say that. If you're gonna unlock, it's not just as simple as that. You have to expand your map awareness. And that means immediate surroundings. That means stuff far away from you. Here's my question, and maybe we don't have the answer to this. Does anybody playing pro games on any of the big teams, are any of them not locked?
I don't know.
And if they aren't,
we should go around and ask every single pro player.
And if they're not, and I'm not saying that it's maybe rhetorical. I'm saying is there one or two that kind of still wishes it was, but they just can't deal with the peer pressure, so they unlock them. I'm just wondering, because it's a weird MOBA thing. You're not unlocked. How are you even on this planet? Like, that's the kind of attitude lockers get. And I'm not saying Bo's giving that, by the way, but I'm saying like the chat room's reaction, pretty typical. Like, that's the way people go.
Yeah, you guys are being pretty big dicks about it.
Well, okay, and here's the funny thing. Here's what I love the most is, so this actually did happen at BlizzCon, and it's happened a couple other places every now and then, because I always take a lot of heat for playing frequently with a locked camera. Is that I will have people come up to me, and it's like being part of a weird, like, shitty club, because they'll come up to me and they'll be like, "Hey, John, I got to tell you, man, I'm a locker too." And like, it's just this big secret you gotta keep from everybody. Like, oh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody you lock your camera.
Yeah.
It's fine. People learn with it locked. I will admit, I should play without it locked. But I will tell you, if we did go into a world and we interviewed every single pro player, if it was 99.9% said, "Oh, of course it's unlocked, 100%. But we found one guy who was like, "Yeah, I play with a locked camera," I'd be like, "There, proof. That's it. Justified. 100% justified."
Or if even just one of them, you know, like, I feel like there's a shaming going on. Again, not you, Bo. I don't think that's what you're doing. I think you have an actual platform on this, like a meaningful one. I just think there are a lot of people who are just like, "Oh, yeah, it's what you do. Oh, you're not doing that, you freaking noob." Like, there's an attitude about that sucks. It's a "do you even lift, bro" kind of thing. And for a lot of people. Yeah. And that's unfortunate, whatever. Subculture, like, MOBA subculture is weird. Like, it's just freaking weird.
We left
weird.
All you macho jerks in the gym when we decided to take up video games and play that. Like, we didn't want to be a part of, "Man, you don't have a lot of muscles. Good luck with the virginity, man." Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like, this is a safe place, man. Yeah. It's esports, but you can leave that crap out of it. That's, you know, anyways, yes. Like, people need to get better. It doesn't even really belong really in sports too, but that it's inured in that culture because those things have been around for decades. And, you know, it's hard to get rid of, you know, hockey guys that like to touch each other's butts and stuff. Like, you know, there's just these rituals that happen in different sports. Or it's that basketball. It's basketball, right? Where they sort of massage one another after they score a basket.
Do they?
Or they hit each other's butt or something. Anyways.
I think they may slap each other's butts, but I've never seen one stop and go, "All right,
move it on." There's some homoeroticism in sports, and that's, you know, endured in that culture, and it's hard to change, and that's okay. It's fine. But repressed homoeroticism.
LeBron, why are you so tight, bro? Why are you so tight?
But in esports, this is like, you know, we just don't need it here. Let's set our culture right.
I agree.
From the start, because this is the point of birth for a lot of esports the past decade. So
that's right.
Someone locks their camera. Just say that's cool, bro.
Yeah.
Cool. Maybe I think it'd be better if you didn't. It'll be a definitely path for improvement. But it's cool. It's fine.
Oh, that analogy is exactly why we had to form a no sports talk on the show rule.
It's true. And you get me going on a rant
this episode, and look what happened.
Yep, look at this.
You'll get me going on a rant about all the well, never mind. I'm going to leave it there.
It can keep happening.
We're on the launcher today, folks. I got to keep it clean.
Yeah, it's got to keep it clean. All right, punch outside your comfort zone. Very important. Do things that occasionally feel, I don't know, not necessarily feel wrong, but
unlock your camera.
yeah, great advice after all that crying.
But I mean,
this one.
Here's a better example, real quick, because I think it's worth mentioning, and then we'll move on. Like, that's not really a problem with Muradin anymore, but I kind of have this problem with Diablo, where I feel like I die a lot, and John's pretty good with advice on what to do with him and how to be the bruiser that everyone wants on your team and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like I go into a lot of fights and end up just dying because I'm stupid, or I play it wrong, or I'm not doing this stuff right. He's not got the same health pool as Muradin or somebody else, or the regen capability and stuff. And so I feel like I hold back, right? He needs to be up front and center. He needs to be causing problems. He needs to be creating situations. And I tend to hang back with him. And maybe that's me playing a lot of support and a lot of backline people, or maybe, I don't know. But that's a place where I feel like even just this specific character, I could punch out of my comfort zone. And there's probably a lot of people who are right now thinking, oh yeah, I'm way too timid with so-and-so, or I'm too, stuck on the same exact talent build every time for one character. Like, try some new stuff. I don't like quest talents, for example, very much. There's only one I really like, and that's the Karazim Insight one. And I wish I was less averse to that stuff. Part of the reason is because Bo's always looking for globes and stuff, like some kind of drug addict. He's always walking around.
I love globe. Globe hunting in this game is like the most fun thing ever.
He's like, don't you guys kill that priest. He's got a sweet globe for me down there, man. Like there's that. And maybe that makes me feel like I don't want to be always just starving for globes and
look at what it's done to this man.
Yeah, his stack. I'm like, he wants his mad stacks, and I think that's great. But I need to maybe play outside of that and not look at that as a scary, oh no, I may not get 100 of these things. Even if I'm fighting a team that knows full well I've taken that ability and knows full well how to stop me from getting it quickly. For example, Insight and getting that first quest talent is very hard for me to do with Karazim on the Spider Butt map, whose name escaped me just now.
Tomb
of the Spider Queen. Where all the spider butts. That's such a, lane. It's so easy to move lanes in that game that if you've got a team on the other side that is just stopping me from being able to get the hits on these minions that I need, I end up way late in the game finally hitting my goal, which is not optimal. I would be a much better use to the team if I hit it earlier. So that's intimidating for me, and so that's an area I would like to punch outside of my comfort zone. Any other examples, or is lock camera going to be it for us?
I think lock camera is the big one. I think if I was to interpret this, it's play with people that are better than you, not weaker than you.
Yeah.
It's fun to stomp noobs, but you don't get better.
That's true. Although,
that's a good point.
What does that say about you, Bo? What does that say about you, though? Because you'll play with us noobs all the time. Not noobs, but, we're not.
Yeah, well, I play a lot. I get my...
You get your fill?
I get my Hero League, and I get my QM, and we got our Team League. There's a number of ways that we play this game. Some of them are easier than others, but I've definitely met my match in Hero League, for sure.
I did notice the last time Civ was on that I'm no longer in his skill thing.
There you go.
I assume I'm higher now than Civ, right?
Maybe. We can only hope. There was one direction to go, Scott.
I hope so.
I heard Civ plays with an unlocked camera.
I doubt that.
Well, that's it. That's it.
No.
You'll never get me to unlock if that's how you play with an unlocked camera.
Let me tell you this. Civ plays with an unlocked dragon. We'll move on now.
I think for me, just to touch on punch outside your comfort zone, it's very easy for me to say I like to play very aggressive. Like, those are the characters I lean towards. Those are the characters I want to play. It's very difficult for me to hang out in the back and not be the first person charging in, because that's how I like to play my game. But I have found it very rewarding recently to play heroes that are in the back line and doing things that, you know, aren't right out in front. And it's been good at making me better at a skill that, quite frankly, was not there before. The idea of not being the first person into a fight was crazy to me for a long time. Now I can play Chromie and actually, you know, not be in front of the warriors. And that's good for me to learn. Yep. And teach myself.
Yep. And I've seen you do things like play Nova when you hate her, or play Abathur because you may as well just start grinding out some kind of sense of why you should play Abathur. Like, I've seen all three of us do this. And I think that's good. Also, sometimes as a team, it's fun to play outside of the team comfort zone. So, like, why not see how Scott does with this thing he never does usually? And why not wear the candy skin? You know, that's a bad example, but why not do things even as a regular composition that you're not used to doing, even if it means a couple of losses? I think that stuff's good for you. Let's see. How about this one? Ask questions, even if they are to yourself. Scott, why did you do that, you dumbass? Like that? Is that what you're thinking?
Okay. Sure. I mean, it's maybe a little harder on yourself than you need to be, but, you know, maybe ask yourself, why am I down here? What am I doing right now? You know, if you're in the bottom lane, what is your goal right in that particular moment as the bottom lane person? You know, are you the only one there to soak experience? Are you looking for a kill? Are you working to try and get to camps? Like, that's a good question to ask yourself. Why are you doing the things you're doing? If you jump into a big team fight, why were you leaping in as Muradin? Was it to protect someone, or was it because Leap was on cooldown and guess I should say Dwarf Toss was on cooldown? And darn it, if it's on cooldown, I'm going to use it. Right. It's a fun ability. Look at him go.
Sure.
So I think it's important to ask yourself, even if it's on a replay stance, why am I doing the things I'm doing in this game?
I had a question myself thing the other day. It was after many games in a row and from previous nights where, again, I've been playing Samuro quite regularly, and I'm in the MVP screen, the thing I'm winning, and I forgot the name of it, but it's how many mercs I'm capturing. And I keep winning that and ending up in the final stats saying, way to go, you're the dude that did the most of these. And I thought, that's cool. And the next time I was like, oh yeah, dude, still pretty cool. And then the third time I went, wait a minute, is it, it's probably good that I can solo those camps?
It's called Headhunter, and I think you've gotten it now like 127 games.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. And so that's my point. Like, I have to at least ask. Maybe the answer is that it's okay, but you still have to ask the question, am I ever doing that to the detriment of a team fight? I guarantee I have. I know a couple of them where I'm like, I could just go get those guys real quick, and then you guys are in a big scrum, and I'm like, well, if I just hurry up and get them, I'll still get down there in time, and then something gets blown, and we lose the, you know, whatever it is we're trying to do. So... great example, John. I think asking yourself those questions and accepting the hard answer sometimes is the way to go. It's not always cool to have that title.
Sure, and it could be perfectly acceptable answers. I mean, if you ask yourself, why am I in this bottom lane? Well, because there doesn't seem to be anybody down here, and there's no team fights going on, and this is giving us an experience lead. And then you say, great. I asked myself a question. I gave myself a real good answer I can feel strong about.
Yep.
But it's just, it's always important to look at it and ask those questions. Because sometimes there are people, and I'm guilty of it too, where I'm just doing something because it's what's in front of me. Look at this wave of minions. I'll just fight them. Meanwhile, there's a big team fight going on, and they're thinking, where's the tank right now?
Right. Yeah.
fighting these minions.
It happens. So, Bo, to sum this section of the show up, I'm going to ask you a question and you can answer in the affirmative or negative. Is there a magic bullet? Is there a trick we should all know to being a better player in the game? Is there one single thing that Bo Schwartz found one time at 4 o'clock in the morning and he went, this is it. This is the way to do it. One magic bullet right to the heart. What is it?
There are none.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, there's no Zulok. You can't just go on Hearthstone and copy whatever deck people are playing just to win. That doesn't exist here.
Doesn't work.
So stop. And we'll talk about that more later. We have Srey, pro player, made a post and a lot of people talking about it. We're going
to
talk about
it. Yeah, we'll get to it.
This is what it's about.
For sure. Let's talk real quick about damage mitigation and vulnerable changes now live as of the Varian patch. We haven't talked about this a ton, and we can go over these relatively quickly, but let's break them down. Let's start at the top. Previously, effects that increase or decrease damage mitigation or resistance did not stack. Or resistant, I guess, that's a talent, right? Resistant? I don't know.
It's a keyword.
Oh.
It's resistant means plus 25% damage mitigation.
Right.
Resistance in general just means less damage by this multiplicative number. Right. So 25%, 50%, 75%.
That makes sense. So, for example, Hardened Shield grants 75% damage mitigation. Vulnerable amplifies damage you take by 25% and so on. So the net result is 50% damage mitigation. In this system, it didn't matter if you had a Safeguard from Morales, which is plus 25, Spell Shield plus 50, and Hardened Shield plus 75. Since Hardened Shield is the largest, this is the buff that they used. Then something changed. So what changed?
So they stack now. Essentially, you would only get either the most beneficial version of whatever buff or debuff you got, or you would only receive the difference. For example, if you had, let's say you had 10% damage mitigation and you got a Safeguard on you, you would only get 15% and not a full 25 extra.
Okay.
And I believe some of them, well, I don't think they overwrote one another. Didn't go into detail about that, but
So two things. One, I didn't know this. So I didn't know that if John and I both threw something on you that was supposed to be beneficial for you as a support move or something, I didn't know that you were only getting the one that was better. So one of us should just save the mana and not do it, right?
That's right. Or you just extend the time. One person casts one, then one person. And another great example is Vulnerable. You play a lot of Jaina. There's Vulnerable,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
John, you play a lot of Sylvanas. There's a Vulnerable talent on her. I think it's still there.
Yep. Sure.
But
it's there.
Yep.
Yeah, but they both apply 25%. So let's say there's one target, and you both go, "Yeah, I'm applying vulnerable," and you shoot them both. Mm-hmm. You didn't get 50% vulnerable.
You got 25.
You got 25,
and it didn't matter.
And either. And let's say Taronda came in and was like, "Yeehaw, Hunter's Mark," because that's Taronda's famous catchphrase, "Yeehaw, aloo, baby." And she puts her Hunter Mark on her. Again, they don't stack. And I think they overwrote. So if 1 second ticked and you place it on there, it would refresh back to 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. It is what it was. And I think we played with it and we didn't really factor too much into it. But since the Varian patch, stuff stacks. So now if you play Jaina and Sylvanas and you apply vulnerable to someone, and let's say, I don't know, Taronda comes in and goes, "Yeehaw, light of a loon, baby," and he puts all the vulnerables on you, you will get a 75% increase in damage taken.
Oh my lord. You may have just described why the game feels so good to me right now. I mean, honestly, that might be it. Like, it's been since the Varian patch, and I didn't know what it was. There was something about the game, the way the game feels, and it's not just when I'm losing, or not just when I'm winning either. There's just a feeling of, like, I don't know, man.
Just 1 second.
All right, keep going. You're just making me all excited here. So
the next item is that there is actually caps. So the cap on damage amplification is 25%.
Oh.
So you'll never receive more than 25%.
Boo.
And the cap on damage mitigation is 75%. The thing is, the cap, I think, if you get a Hardened Shield, then I think the amplification can stack. Mm. I think it's not written super clearly, so I can't rules lawyer it. But my logic brain says, well, if I've got Hardened Shield and then three different stacks of vulnerable come in on me, that should put me at parity from what I originally was, let's say. So,
right.
But anyways,
you can overcome the difference, basically. You can't go past 25%, but you can stack to get to that, even if there's mitigation on them.
Okay, sure. That makes sense.
I think that's how that's working. So there's a reason that this change took place. It wasn't for no reason. It wasn't to make Scott go, what's going on? I feel like damage. I feel like stuff's killing me way more.
Yeah.
Actually, because what they'd like to do is there's sort of a sense that warriors right now are pretty not durable. And because of the way resistance and vulnerable work, they can't just give them baseline resistance. So one of the things they're bandying about is saying, if you're a warrior, 10% resistance built in. Just like in Diablo, the monk and the barbarian have plus 30% damage mitigation built right into the class.
Right.
You don't even think about it. They're just tougher.
Yeah.
And so they'd like to do this with warriors. The problem is, if they do that and don't change this, when Morales casts Safeguard on Varian, let's say, he only benefits 15% because of caps.
Oh.
It doesn't stack. It overwrites it. So he's effectively gaining 15%. And that feels bad from a gameplay perspective because your abilities are better on some characters and not, and it's kind of an invisible layer to the knowledge of the game.
Yeah.
So they're making it more intuitive this way.
Mm.
So
also again, you feel like you're not just spending mana on nothing. I like that.
Yes, absolutely. Not blowing a cooldown on a wrong thing or anything like that. So it doesn't punish the uneducated. And why would anyone want to be educated in this regard except for, you know, people who unlock their cameras? So in order to satisfy this goal, they've implemented this change, which is cool. And the other thing, so this isn't in the game yet, but I think that's what's coming next, is your warriors are going to get tougher. I'm very excited for this because it definitely feels like I'm a punching bag. Because warriors already have deep health pools and are very strong and resilient, what they're probably going to do as well is lower healing from all support characters. And I imagine talents on other characters, the healings are going to be reduced.
I already feel like I barely can heal John when he's Muradin or whoever. That's bad. Well, that seems bad to me. I don't like that.
Well, I think it'll probably still feel like you're healing someone with a low health pool a lot. Like, I mean, when John and I play Tracer and Uther, I just press Q and she's back up to full. Like, oh, it's
yeah,
crazy.
It's the best, yeah.
So I think overall this just means that, like, what they don't want is, like, unkillable tanks. And then we have this tank meta because why would you play someone squishy that can barely damage a tank?
Sure.
And so these are the changes coming up. They were in the patch. I don't believe they were in the patch notes. So this was sort of a thing that we're just getting caught up on here, is big changes to that. The other thing to note is that vulnerable will probably be tuned down so that they don't get it, so that it doesn't get out of control, depending on how this works.
I could see that. Post 16 Jaina is something to be reckoned with. And if that can stack to always ensure that without the mitigation, even if that's all this means, this math, that's pretty brutal. Like that, where it could be anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, this is your PSA, folks, on some of the less visible changes coming up. And personally, I'm very excited to play Warrior. Like, some warriors feel like they just die instantly. Diablo is a great example of that. Sometimes it just goes poorly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, please make our tank characters more resilient.
He's the freaking primeval. He should live longer. Also, the general sense I have is that the bruiser class of warriors, so Sonya and him and Artanis and others to some degree, I would like to see them more viable as a single tank pick and less of this whole, well, he's not a real tank, like that whole thing. Like, if they're going to be in the warrior class, I feel like they should all be at least choosable and playable as your best protection in whatever comp. And the same way I think Tassadar should be, you know, shouldn't be ostracized because he's weird. You know, he can support sometimes with the best of them. So maybe this will go some way into doing that as well.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, this Sray post. So, Bo, you know the most about it. Give us the rundown. What happened?
So I'm going to... let me take the podium over here.
I may or may not eat a taco while you're talking.
Yeah, go ahead. Have all a right. taco. Right.
That sounds John, like a... I'm definitely going to eat a taco while you're talking.
It's just you and me now, John. All right.
Hi, Bo.
So you guys know who Sray is, yep. Probably. We've talked about him before on the show. He's the guy who got rank 1 in North America and made a, he's like, I'm rank one, so I guess I can speak knowledgeably about matchmaking, and made a pretty impactful post on Reddit back then about it. And since then, he's gone on to join some professional teams. Right now, he's playing on Dumpster Tier Superstars. And, you know, so, and he's also making these tier lists for people, as certain community members do and pro players do. They have this concept from other MOBAs known as tier lists. And if you haven't played another MOBA, it might be a new concept to you that you're listening, but it's essentially saying, in somewhat of a vacuum, we're doing an evaluation of how a hero works. And a lot of the time, a god tier hero is one that you can carry a game with, even if the rest of your team is just face checking bushes and dying left and right. Like Li Ming might have been an example a few patches ago of someone where you can turn a game around. Interestingly enough, Sray has put Chen at that tier right now, and I'm just super excited about that.
I mean, but, Bo, when you play Chen, I'm pretty happy. It Chen's, usually goes it's always pretty been well. Amazing.
It's just a matter of time. Alarak's going to be up there too. You watch. Mm. So, so he made another post on Reddit this week, and he wanted to address actually. So, as someone who makes tier lists and who's in the public eye of heroes, he gets a lot of feedback about why some heroes are placed where. It's always a conversation. You can't just say, you know, I play with a locked camera and not hear from hundreds of people about how you're, you know, terrible at life. So, you know, he gets his, I think
as
he gets
we've learned here
feedback.
Tonight. Yeah.
And I'm there's the post is on Reddit. Just Google Sray or in the Reddit search. I'm not going to go over the whole thing, but I took out some stuff in here that I thought was useful for our listeners because they do play with a wide variety of skill. So basically, the nuts and bolts of it, as far as I interpret it, was that there's no easy solutions in this game. All right. And there are no magic bullets or silver bullets, I think is the correct expression. And so many people take issue with a lot of the simple education provided by tier list because it doesn't match up to their experience of playing this hero. Mm. Looking at you, all you Asmodan and Gazlo players out there,
sure.
and Nova players out there, actually. Nova's on the bottom of the list, yet you're in Diamond trying to play, prove you're the best Nova in the world.
Right.
Although she's better, but let's say a couple patches ago.
Sure.
So he went on basically a long explanation about why you shouldn't play, for example, Asmodan in Hero League. You might be the best one. You might have some epic games with them. But he goes on to say that these heroes are basically gimmicky. And if you're looking to get better, then my evaluation of the heroes is that they're not good and they shouldn't be played in the meta and you shouldn't be playing them.
Wow.
Now, this is how the conversation started. Now, you shouldn't be playing them if you want to improve, if you want to be Diamond, or if you eventually think you're supposed to be at Master or whatever.
Right.
He goes a great length to disclaimer that his tier lists are based on his personal experience and that these tier lists can vary depending on your personal ability, the meta, and personal ability of the other people at your league level. So his list may not reflect your experience in bronze. So don't use it. Mm. And you know, your gimmick Asmodan is OP strat, you know, isn't easily countered where you're playing. Cause if it isn't, then fine. But if it isn't, like it's not in Master League where he is. So he's not going to put out a list like this. And finally, the actual demands of the draft and the talent decisions in the game matter. There's no Zulok deck. Mm-hmm. You've got to build your team every time you play. And so a lot of this resonated with me because I feel like we've been saying this on Core for a long time now. It's play what you want. But if you want to get better at certain things, you need to look at what's going on with you in your situation. You need to make informed decisions about it. Because he says, like, my tier list is not some answer that applies to everyone and everyone should play this way. The tier list is just his opinion on what's strong and what, you know, what mm-hmm. should be seeing higher win rates.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, he says effectively what I got from is both tier lists and HOTS logs, which we've talked about, you know, who's the top winning rate here on HOTS logs. Let's play that. It's wrong. It's probably wrong for you. It's probably wrong for what you're doing. And so he said, these are of limited value.
Even his own list, he's saying it was a very long post.
I know I'm kind of going all over the place with it, but effectively the message here is, and we talked about how do you get better at the game, is you need to be educated about the game. Mm. You need to be educated about where you're, what you're playing, where you're playing, and why you're making certain decisions. If Asmodan Rex in your meta, play it.
Right.
But if it doesn't, and he's saying his experience as a master player, it's not good, and he doesn't put it high on his list, then you shouldn't be playing that. But people take a lot of issue with his advice.
Yeah.
Finally, and this is the last thing, and we'll open it up to more of a conversation, but he says, in the ranked ladder, the biggest problem people have right now is player education. So in League of Legends, is his example, is that the difference between Platinum and Diamond players is purely mechanical. Mm. Everyone knows to go to bot lane, to top lane, to mid, there's a jungler. People know what to do. The strategy and education is there, and what separates them is their mechanical ability. He says it's the reverse in Heroes, is that people have mechanical ability and grind all the way up to Diamond 3 or place there and get high, and they have no education about the strategy or what's accepted about the game. And then he calls out the Heroes community at large for saying, you know, we're part of disseminating this information, including what hero picks to pick and why a team comp is good, what are you supposed to do on maps, is that you can have a mechanically sound, a superior person playing at Diamond who is asleep at the wheel when it comes to actually playing the game correctly. Mm. And this is why there is so much hostility and dissonance that you see from all levels. And if I spend, you know, I go to Reddit daily, there's always someone at some skill level or, you know, tier level who's complaining about the other players just not knowing what they're doing. Mm. So it's all a bunch of people yelling at other people about not knowing what they're doing. And I really felt he nailed it in how he wrote it. I'm not doing it justice.
Doesn't League and Dota 2 have the same problem though? Like they have the same, their toxicity is world renowned. Like they've got this, and I don't just mean in their quick match system. I mean, like in their ranked play, you hear horror stories from people over there. So I guess what I'm asking is it because over there there's one way to play, and over here there's eight maps with eight different, totally different map objectives, style, ways of playing, and then therefore character comps that are the strongest on those maps. And therefore ways each player has to play individually and as a team, like the more weirdly the game that everyone thinks is less complex is the more complex one because of all those.
Absolutely. Things. There are way more vectors of complexity in Heroes than there isn't any. That's the ironic thing is that Heroes is actually way more complicated.
Yeah.
You can't build a team comp saying I'll be bot. I'll be carry, you be jungler, you be top, here are the accepted characters for these roles.
Right.
You have map decisions to make. Why is pick Sylvanas on this map? She's strong. Don't take her on this map. She's terrible. Mm-hmm. Don't take her with these teammates. No, she's countered by this guy on the other team. Mm-hmm. Like you, to be good at this game, you have to know how to answer those questions for yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hear a lot of opinions from people who don't know what they're talking about, maybe yourself included, if you decide to be that way. About what the right decisions are, mm-hmm. because it is infinitely more complex. It's just not where it's advertised to be complex, which is like, oh, we got team experience, noob game. We don't need last hitting, noob game. It's like, actually, it matters what you draft and what you build your team, and it matters paying attention to the other one, and it matters what map you're on.
Yeah,
these are vectors of complexity that League people don't even have to deal with.
It's like
noob MOBA League.
Yeah.
Noob one map. Well, that's all you have to play on.
It, to me,
why
it'd
are
be
you
like,
firing shots? Why are you doing that? That is uncalled for.
To me, it's like saying, hey, football is the complex game, and it is one. And then somebody comes out with a football game where every field is different, but changes a couple of basic rules that simplify some of the upfront stuff and people calling it a noob game. Like it's the same kind of thing. The maps alone make this an infinitely different kind of experience. The one map's solution for those other two MOBAs, where that's the only field of play ever, always, and forever, is, I'm not calling it a limiting factor, but that's the thing that you now coalesce around every time. So no matter what you do, what your decisions are, what characters are tiered the best, blah, 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 it doesn't matter. It's all around that space, and it will ever be so. Maybe. Who knows what the future holds. But in Heroes, they decided very early on, nope, it's going to be around all of these locations with all of their weird shit happening left and right. And that makes it such a different experience. I'm going to read this thing. I haven't read it top to bottom. I'm going to read through it. Seems like a guy that maybe knows some things. There's a couple things in here I don't necessarily agree with. And by the way, this isn't somebody saying, you've came to this game for fun. Sorry, you're playing the wrong. That's not who's what he's saying. He's saying you guys who are truly trying hard and want to be top of the game and be the best you can be, you're kind of doing it wrong in a lot of ways.
Yeah, if you're,
or you're getting false positives.
Right.
If you're hanging out in Bronze League or you're just doing Quick Match and you say, hey, I want to play Asmodan, play Asmodan.
Oh, hell yeah.
Don't let anybody tell you not to play that character. That's something I ran into when I was playing League. I picked a character because I liked the way the character looked and I liked the name. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to give this character a try. I got in and immediately I got messages. Why'd you pick that character?
She's the worst.
Now, this would be the equivalent of playing versus AI in Heroes. I wasn't playing a player versus player or anything like that. I was just practicing, essentially. And they're like, why'd you pick that character? Yeah. And they were pretty nice about it because I was like, I don't know. I like the name and I like how she looked and it's fine. And they said, well, just so you know, the character is really underpowered right now. You're not going to be able to do much.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's the equivalent of that old joke where it's just like, hi, I'm 5 years old. Like, when exposed to something mind-blowing, it's just like, I don't know. Hi, I'm new to MOBAs. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, it's fine to look at tier lists, but I do think it's important to parse what they mean and where they're coming from when they put those together. And it's not to take it and say you should always pick this character or you should never pick this character because there are circumstances that also need to be considered.
Yeah. Totally. Here's the penultimate example, Muradin. Like every pro game that you watch, Muradin is in there.
Mm-hmm.
50% win rate on Hotslogs. People rank him high-ish on their tier lists.
Mm-hmm.
So why is he performing so badly? Why are people it's because they're not picking the talents right, because they're not playing it correctly, because mm-hmm. maybe Muradin's not too good in their meta.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you get very limited value. And as John said, you have to parse the information mm-hmm. and do evaluation.
Yeah. And Hotslogs, again, not your best source for this sort of thing. Speaking of like learning shit and trying to improve yourself, we're going to give Kyle Ferguson a shout out, his stream specifically. John and Bo and me occasionally will show up on the Team League stream on Saturdays with some decent regularity. That's a good place to sort of see some organized Team League play. And that's an amazing place to get great feedback from the chat. You hear Kyle sort of talk about a lot of what's happening in the game in a way that I think is very helpful. Kyle's one of these guys. I mean, he's like a sage wizard. He's one of the best players I've ever known. Maybe he is the best player I know. Like straight up, period. I think he's the best player I know. And he's not only one of the best players I know, but he is one of the best stewards of this community that I know. He has a way about him that is anti-toxic, that is the opposite of whatever ails you. always helpful, always nice, and always has a suggestion and is okay with a loss because you can learn something from it. Like the guy's top-notch. So you guys should catch that. We don't have his link here though. What is it?
Well, you can at Kyle Ferguson on Twitter, and mm-hmm. he posts all the stuff that he does. So, I mean, that's where I would go.
Yeah.
It's one R and two S's in Ferguson. Mm-hmm. I think he has a KyleFerguson.com, actually. So maybe the links are everything there.
Yeah.
And it's Kyle Ferguson on
Twitch. So on it's twitch.tv/KyleFerguson.
Okay. On YouTube as well, search Kyle Ferguson, and he'll come up. And he does Into the Nexus, which is a pretty great podcast too. Anyway, so
yeah, he's great.
We've been having a lot of fun playing with him.
Kyle's great. He's also 8.5 feet tall. He is a mythical human being from another planet.
In all regards.
He is so tall. It's freaky. I guess I'm about the same height. He just feels tall because I'm not used to being around people my height. So that's my problem. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. It's my own weird view of the world. All right, no next Jeopardy this week. Sorry, listeners at home, that we're sitting here waiting for it. Take that. There isn't one, but there is this. Before we get out of here, we'd like to read some emails that came to us at core@heroesforyou.com. You can also leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. Got a couple of them here. I'm going to rip through them. We got one from Josh who says, man, do you guys have a playlist with all the Dear Martha bits or a recording of a record of the timestamps? I want to share them with my wife, but haven't kept track of which episodes they pop in on. easily found the most recent aardvark one, and she had a good laugh. Ha ha, Josh. So, I would like to ask John, in the only way I know how, if there's going to be more of these. Hold on.
My dearest Martha, today we met to gather around the fire. It was going well. Spirits were high on the front. Then my good friend Bo decided to share with everybody that I kept my camera locked. Everybody at the camp made fun of me. They started calling me a locker. Then they said, if you like lockers so much, why don't you live in one? They pushed me in a locker and they shut it. Martha, I was locked in that locker for probably a good hour or so. Finally, they let me out just to give me some bread and water. Though I do believe one of the men had urinated on it. Martha, I'm coming home to you. I'm giving up war and battle. I've decided to leave all this behind. Yours truly, Revendon, 1354.
Oh, my Lord. Ugh. I'm so glad that we do these. So write that down. Perfect. Write that down, Josh.
Did you just, is that all off the top of your head? The urinating on the bread was ingenious.
It was all out, right out of his arse. You didn't know I was going to do that, did
they're
you?
They're always ad-libbed.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was going to
do that. We don't plan these. I didn't tell him I was going to do that. Well done. And write that down, Josh. There's the one. There's your timestamp. Go check it out. All right. Greetings, Triumvirate of the Nexus, says Nate. To set up my question, I will say I exclusively play an Orc Fury Warrior in World of Warcraft and love the Warrior class in general. I also loved it when, spoilers, Varian gets blown up into little fell bits during the Broken Shore event. This left me very disheartened when he popped up in the Nexus with all of the cool WoW Warrior stuff on his kit. Personally, I have looked forward to possibly playing Grom, Garrosh, or Broxagar. I don't know who that is. Who is that? Who's Broxagar?
He's an orc.
Okay.
You
orc warrior.
All right. Now, that seems more unrealistic than ever at this point, since warriors are inherently generic, and we have Mr. Do-It-All right here. I mean, how many guys who yell, get angry, and hit things hard without the use of the magic do you want? It just seems to me incorporating the best notes from all of the three specs of the class into one person takes away from the possible future releases and makes it harder for the team to make another warrior from the WoW universe that stands on its own. Thoughts, keep up the great work. Nate, I think that is a great question. I don't have a good answer for it, though. Like, straight up, if the idea is to carry the fantasy over from WoW, they did it with Varian in a way that is very specific, almost like, geez, almost Overwatch character in Heroes level of attention to fantasy, right? So will we ever see Garrosh? And if we do see Garrosh, what's his big deal? Is he going to have like the Shaw of pissed offness on him or something? Is he going to be like what's his, you know, what makes him stand out or be unique? And the only thing I could think of is, well, what made the two of the more famous shaman in the Nexus and in the World of Warcraft differentiate themselves? Well, one is Rhaegar the Healer and relies on certain shamanistic tendencies, and the other is Thrall, the greatest shaman of Azeroth, and he is a very different kind of character and not a support character at all, and is DPS and, you know, in his own unique way. So I think they can do it, but he's right that it seems like if you're going to get all those iconic guys over, it's not going to happen. Now, before you guys answer this, I want to just make one comment. Many episodes ago, we were all suggesting there's probably no way that we'll see Zarya in the Nexus. I remember talking about this, or at least I did. I'll speak for me. But I remember thinking, she's too much like Tychus. You know, what big gun-carrying heavy that can shoot at range and do the stuff Tychus does. So why would they do that? Maybe we'll get a Zarya skin. We may have even pontificated. And that all turned up to be not true at all. She's a different class, but still, she's in the game. And, you know, she basically looks like Lady Tychus in a lot of ways. So knowing that, maybe they don't care. Maybe bringing Grom over, or Grimash or any of these other guys is more just about making sure that character is in the Nexus, and who cares what the kit is as long as it's fun. They don't all have to behave like Fury Warriors, is I guess is what I'm saying. So thoughts. Let's take it around the table.
I think it would be very weird to see them release Grom and Garrosh as two separate characters unless they went real different with them. Because, hey, they're related. They fight with the same weapon, typically. They're both warriors. And they're basically a hair difference between them. And that's about what they got.
Yep.
So, but, you know, they might go with a monstrous Garrosh. You never know. I wouldn't say that we have, well, that's it. We burned the warrior class. We'll never get another warrior ever again. So I don't think you need to be too upset, Nate. But I do think that if you like Varian's kit, you might just have to cuddle up to Varian.
Also, I'm not so sure that Grimash wouldn't just be DPS and Gary Hellscream would be a warrior. You know what I mean? Like you could totally break that stuff out. And in many ways, Varian's the embodiment of that right now. Bo, your thoughts on future Warcraft warriors?
I think there's lots of room for asymmetrical design. I think they can have a Fury Warrior and it not play like Varian, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they have another warrior in there, and, you know, I mean, there are other warriors in there. There's a ton of them, in fact. But the Warcraft class from Warcraft, I don't think every hero has to look like it, but they can do, they can probably do a Garrosh hero that has a level 10 ult that's dual wielding and one that's arms wielding, but not call it by the same names and not have it behave functionally. Varian gets movement speed. Maybe Garrosh grows more of a 5 o'clock shadow or a full beard.
Oh man, sweet beard mechanics. That'd be great.
It's like, you can either go beard Garrosh or shaven Garrosh. Like you have the stubble at the start and you either shave it and then you have more charisma. I don't know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a hero designer, folks. Or, you can,
it's a real shame, you know, with ideas like that you're bringing to the table.
Yeah,
Blizzard. But the point being is that, you know, they can do a dual wield go crazy thing and have it feel similar to Varian, but also have it have its own unique identity.
I think
you don't need to stay up at night worrying about this. Team One's got your back.
Mm-hmm.
They've been hard at work making sure that you don't feel like all your heroes feel the same.
Also, yeah. There's a crap ton of orcs in this game.
Yeah, we're no shortage of orcs.
What are we at? We're at like 4.5.
Well, hold on.
3.5.
Hold on. So let's do the math. Rexxar, Thrall,
yep.
Rhaegar.
Yep.
Who else?
Samuro.
Oh, Samuro.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There you go.
Samuro, and that's at 4, right?
Well, Rexxar's half.
No, I thought it was a quarter. He's a quarter orc. No, quarter ogre.
Yeah, he's quarter ogre, quarter orc, and quarter bear. Because him and Misha, just saying, it's been some stuff going on in the woods.
It's a sister. Misha's a sister.
Does Rexxar and Misha do it in the woods, like that old saying?
Nope.
I can't think of any other orcs.
We're not going the right direction.
Let's just debunk that right now.
We need a lady orc. We need, I don't know who.
Twin Blade.
Oh, lady. Gul'dan. No,
what's her name?
Chat room got us.
Gul'dan. Gul'dan's the other one, right? Gul'dan. There's 5 then.
Oh God, we're driving them nuts.
How do we not do Gul'dan? I don't know how we missed him. That's crazy that we didn't. I don't know.
Garona. We need Garona.
Garona'd be good, sure. I thought she was but she's only an orc in the movie though, right?
She's half orc as well.
In the game?
Game and in the movie.
In
the movie, she's half orc, half Medivh, and in the game, she's half orc, half Draenei.
Let's be inclusive and say you count as orc if you're half orc, okay?
Okay.
And
all right.
Yeah. So
okay, sure.
Let's not be like you're not a pure
you're greater
orc,
so than you the sum count. Of your parts. We're That's, not going to reduce you down to half anything.
Yeah. Except in Azeroth, it's one of the most racist fantasy worlds of all time. In fact, the entire game is split on factional lines and racial tension. But I totally get your point. I totally understand your point.
Need that, by the way. Do we have that in Warcraft? Like the United States of Azeroth?
Not really. I mean,
we need some people to get all mad and go venturing off into that's the next expansion to a new continent to found the new world.
Yeah.
And it's
I'm down with that. Or hey, I got it. What's Northrend could be Canada, right? And we could all threaten to leave. Okay. We could all threaten to leave Kalimdor and go up there because we're mad at whoever we. You know, we get, Gary Hellscream made it into office, and we can't believe it. And he's just as orange. Think about that, big orange orc. It's all happening. It's
Does
all
that
happening.
Mean their prime minister is the Lich King?
No, it means. I think their prime minister is Anduin, and somehow he's up there. I don't know how.
Oh, no.
Listen, he's a super nice guy. He's a sweet guy.
You guys got Anduin.
Yeah, you got Anduin. Who else are you going to compare him to? Nobody. He's not Varian. Who are you going to... I'm saying compare your prime minister to a Warcraft character. Who you got for
he's
him?
He's Uther. He's a nice guy, and he frequently has to deal with real crappy people.
Okay. I mean, I maybe could go with. I mean, the personalities are different. Anduin fits more from a like young, handsome, cool hair guy, but attitude wise, maybe it is Uther. Greetings.
I think you nailed it with Anduin.
Yeah. All right.
You nailed it.
Well, there you go then. Anduin and his stupid hair. There's your emails. Thank you so much again, both Nate and Josh, for sending those. We have a ton to go through still. We will get to those in future episodes. Core@heroesforyou.com is the email address. And again, leave your voicemails at 801-471-0462. Leave them short and interesting. They'll get played on the show. Heroesforyou.com is the website. You can find us also on live shows at alphageekradio.com at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, or sorry, Pacific. And what, 7 p.m. Eastern? Wait, no, 8 p.m. Eastern.
It's 8 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. That's right. You can join us in the game. That's right. / join Frogpants in the game. Play with us and other listeners. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at Core Heroes. John _ Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John, and for all of you. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
I agree.